Is it 211? I get a little excited. Talking about Christ.
Roof's going up.
Hey, that's right. We're going to blow the roof off. That's right. All right. Yeah, we're getting a new roof, so we must as well blow it off, right? Let's do it right now. So be encouraged, you know. A lot of things that were said today already, God's been working on my heart for quite a while. And you're going to hear that in the message today, I think you really are. It's a heavy topic. This is a topic that's going to be that's tough for me. Sometimes I have a hard time doing this topic. So it's a challenge. This is going to be a challenge from God, I think, for a lot of us. And we're doing a lot. But sometimes God wants more. And he does that. He instructs us to do certain actions, not for us to get into heaven, because if you're saved, you're saved, right? We're going to heaven. That's not the reason he tells us to do things. He instructs us in the Word for certain things. It's to prepare us, right? To protect us and to benefit us, right? He knows what's best for us, right? We're not very good at finding out what's best for us. We make terrible decisions, you know, oftentimes. Decisions that should destroy us. But for some reason, he still has us here. I look back at my childhood and I say, wow, how did I even make it to 18? You know? I did stupid stuff. I should have been dead. Yeah, crazy. So anyways, I really have a heavy burden. I've been feeling this heavy burden lately. And I think it goes back to the dream I had. And some of you, I told this dream that I had, this experience dream. If you want to know more, I'm not going to repeat it today. I got a lot of other things to talk about. But anyways, the whole point of this experience that I had was I wasn't prepared. I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared to face Christ face to face. And in my mind, I thought I was. But I realized real quickly after that experience that I wasn't. And I still ain't. I want to see Jesus, and I want to go to him with my arms wide open and like muckle right onto him. I don't want to turn my head and say in shame and feel like, man, I'm such a hypocrite, you know? And so I've had these heavy burdens on being prepared. And one of the burdens I've had is for this country. This country is in trouble. This country is in trouble, big time. This is not the country we knew. And I'm not even talking about politics. I'm just talking about people. And the reason that this country is in trouble is because there's spiritual warfare going on. Heavy spiritual warfare. And you can sense it, can't you? I mean, there's just outright evil going on in this country that wasn't going on for a long time. For a long time. And there's a lot of division. A lot of division going on, isn't there? There's a huge amount of division. And Satan is at work hard.
Yes.
We worry about outside countries killing us. It's internal. Satan is attacking internally in this country. He's letting us destroy each other.
Yeah.
And he's working hard at it. And he has to do that. He has to do that. Because the United States is a beacon of light. A light of Christianity. And he hates that. He really does. He hates it. So he wants to destroy it. So he's putting thoughts and craziness in people's minds. In bad ways. And it's deep rooted. It's kind of coming out of people. People you wouldn't think that would be doing this stuff. And it's happening. That's scary. And he's working heavy with deception. Some heavy-duty deception. And like John brought the message last week, and if you didn't hear it, you need to listen to it. On truth. Because if you don't know the truth, you will be deceived. And if you have no basis for what truth is, then you're just going off other people's thoughts. And let me tell you right now, we are a selfish nation. The message is, if it feels good, you do it. It's going to make you happy. And if it makes you happy, then you go for it. The problem is, I don't see a lot of happiness, even though people are going for it. I hear stories working with people of despair. Despair. And it's not just out there in the world. Guess what? It's creeping into the church. It's creeping into the church. As the numbers rise out there, saying, look at me. I know better than you. It's creeping into the church. It's a scary place to be when you're letting deception work on you. And it's scary to stand against that because there is heavy-duty attacks. Right? You stand against something, you're going to get labeled as something. And everybody gets so scared about being labeled. Don't label me as this. Don't label me as that. There's a lot of fear that comes with that, right? A lot of fear. But like in John's message, he said, we're to be set apart. We're meant to be different than the world. We're not meant to be like the world. But inside us, we have a craving. We have a craving, don't we? We want all the machines like everybody else has in the neighborhood. We have a craving for that. We have a craving for a better house, better car, better wife, better husband. Really? That's what's going on in our heads. We laugh about it, but tell me it isn't happening. Tell me nobody's thinking about this stuff. Right? It's built into us. It's a fleshy thought. We're meant to be set apart. What's that mean? What's that mean to you when we're meant to be set apart?
Different.
Different in what way?
Every way.
Right. Why is it different?
It's going against the world's the tide of the world.
The tide of the world, right. And so right now, the tide of the world in this country is about me. Mm-hmm. Hear my opinion. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's all about me. Selfie. Look at me. Look at me. And on that stuff, you don't see a lot of true people. You see the best of the best. Right? Most of the time. It's fake. It's not a real person. It's highlights.
Filters.
Making you look better than you really are. Yeah. John?
We were at the park like a month ago. I don't remember where it was. We were in Conway. And there was a woman dragging three kids across the park. And they were screaming. And they were fighting and beating each other. And it was crazy. And she comes over to by the train station in Conway. And she says, stand there so I can get a picture with the background. Mm-hmm. And of course they were screaming and fighting or whatever. And she goes, all I want is one picture that I can show everyone we had fun while we're here.
That's so true, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah. I'm like that. She was thinking like, I
better, make it look better than it is. There was people, I saw in a paper going along with that, I was reading in a journal, that as far as vacations go, family vacations, when you spend all this money to go on vacations and stuff, you know, that there's a high percentage of people that are unhappy while they're on vacation because they had such expectations that it didn't meet their expectations. But when they come back, they tell everybody how great it was. Yeah. So why is that? Why do we do crazy stuff like that? Anyways, it's a crazy world, isn't it? So we're meant to be set apart. We're not only to be different, though, right? Right. We don't want to be just like looked at as just different. We're meant to be acting different, right? That means that there's action that comes into play. Right? Action. As the idea of self-happiness seems to be the way, if you want to be set apart, we have to do something different, right? The focus can't be on ourselves. It has to be on others. Right? The opposite of what the world is saying.
Yeah.
So the world is saying, it's all about you, Reggie. Make yourself happy. Who cares about everybody else? Right? As long as you're happy, you're good. But it's not true. It's a lie. It's deception. We're losing what it means to be selfless and to sacrifice for others. This country was a country about sacrifice, wasn't it?
Yes.
Sacrifice. Yes. Real sacrifice. Right? People died just to build and start this country. People died when things were evil to correct that evil. That's real sacrifice. People didn't back down when truth was spoken. You know, if something wasn't true, if it was untrue, people wouldn't back down. They'd stand on truth. This country was... That's why we were the light to the world. We're losing that. The flame is going away. In Matthew 5:6, I'm going to be reading... Just to kind of clarify, you're going to see King James Version. Now, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation a lot of these scriptures, just because I find it's easier to understand. But let me be clear. I went to King James to verify that was the right scripture, that they matched up. Because part of the deception that's going on in the world is even the Bible is being changed sometimes. So you got to make sure that your translation matches up with what we believe is the true, the original type stuff, right? So we got to be careful about that. Don't be deceived. So in Matthew 5:6, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. People need to see our good deeds. It's so important. So important. They need to see that we're different. When other people are backing down, they need to see that we're not. When we were at Soul Fest, they were talking about the Salvation Army. And the Salvation Army is about going into the darkest places in your city to help those people. And I was like, wow. Am I going into the darkest part of my city to help those people? And the answer is no. They're sacrificing something that nobody else wants to sacrifice. That talk really kind of hit me. The captives are watching how we handle tough situations. They want to see our response. How we handle tough situations. How we handle death. We should be handling death a lot different than the people out there that have no faith, have no hope, that just think that you're going in the ground. How we handle our blessings. So we get blessed. What do? We just accept that blessing and just go on with our own lives? If we have excess, do we just hold on to it? We've been blessed with excess. This is a country of excess. Other countries don't have this much excess. And what I see going on, because again, I work with people, so I hear the stories. I work with Christians and I work with non-Christians. And I'm not seeing a lot of difference with some of these topics. I'm not hearing much difference. I'm hearing Christians and non-Christians be discouraged, tired, hopeless. How can we be a Christian and be hopeless?
Right.
How can that happen? And it's happening. And the world is watching. And what does that say to the world if we're acting hopeless? Your light is not shining. If we're acting the same way that the world is acting, we're not set apart. We don't look different. And we're not doing a very good job of representing what Christ really was. The true Christ. Not the made, fictitious Christ with all the frills and stuff, but the real Christ. The Bible refers this to being dry bones sometimes, right? When you're discouraged and tired and run down, you're like a dry bone. You got no life. We sit here in church, you look good, post some happy things on Facebook. Deep down inside, we're dry. We're dry. But this message is to encourage us. It sounds pretty dismal, doesn't it? It's to encourage us. God is encouraging us. He's encouraging us. On what I'm going to be talking about. He's encouraging us to show people love. True sacrifice. To stay strong. To keep going. He's encouraging us, some of us, who sometimes pull away from sacrificing for others, to dig a little deeper and listen to what the Lord is leading us to do. Right? So some of us already are sacrificing. And maybe God is saying, I need you to sacrifice a little bit more. Maybe some of us are pulling away and saying, it hurts to sacrifice. I'm tired. We make up a million excuses. I can't do this because of. But He's encouraging us. He's saying, don't do that. Stay strong. Stay the course. Fix your eyes on Him. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the time. But that requires a little bit of sacrifice sometimes, doesn't it? Maybe you have to sacrifice doing something else in order to help somebody else. Galatians 6:9. Now see, God is so smart, isn't He? Like, He knows we're going to have all these struggles. He knows. So what's He do? He instructs us. He gives us encouraging words. He tells us it. All we got to do is read them. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in doing good. What does weary mean?
Tired.
Frustrated. Exhausted. Don't be weary for doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. So if we give up, what happens to the harvest?
It rots.
It rots, right? It rots. So what happens to our family and friends who aren't part of the harvest? They're going to rot. They're going to die. I don't want to see one friend. I don't want to see one family member. I don't even want to see my enemy rot. My flesh does. I'm not going to lie. My flesh does. But when I'm thinking through Christ's eyes, through the Holy Spirit, I don't want to see that happen. What I want to see is a change. What I want to see is a change. So I was thinking about sacrificing, probably about maybe not quite a year ago. I was on Facebook and I saw all kinds of people putting on opinions. Everybody puts on an opinion, right? Of course, everybody's opinion is the best opinion. Even though I see a lot of opposing opinions, so how can they both be the best opinion? Makes you wonder, right? So on Facebook, I said, you know what? I've seen enough opinions. I want to see what your opinion, how much is that worth to you? What is your opinion worth to you? What are you willing to sacrifice for that opinion? Right? So I wrote out this little message, and I said, you know, I can't remember exactly what I said, but anyway, so it was basically saying, like, listen, we're getting a lot of opinions. I want to know what it's worth to you. And I gave an example. Now, this wasn't the only example I was using, but at the time, it was kind of a hot topic. It was abortion versus pro-choice, right? I mean, pro-choice versus pro-life, okay? And I said, show me where you stand, because I'm seeing a lot of posts about pro-life, and I'm seeing a lot of posts about pro-choice. So what's it worth to you? What would you sacrifice to promote your feelings towards one or the other? And that was just an example, but I was looking for anything. It could be anything. You could have used the whole gun thing. You could have used you could have used anything. And you know how many responses I got? And I'm friends with 450 people on Facebook, so 450 people can see my posts. Okay, so 450 people, and half of those are probably Christian, and half aren't. So you know how many responses I got out of that?
None.
Three. And they weren't really great. There was one girl who was very good. Because I had also, a part of, on that message too, I had said, like, listen, you know, if you're, you know, what's it worth to you? Would you sacrifice a Kit Kat bar for your vision? Would you sacrifice time, money? Would you sacrifice your life for that thought you're having, that opinion you're throwing out casually? Right? And this girl, one girl who's not a Christian, she went through everything. She took a full boat, put down, like, what she would give up a Kit Kat bar for, and what she would give up other things for, and what she wouldn't give up for, you know. She went through it all. It was amazing. I was like, wow, that was good. But three responses. And you know what that tells me? Because if I throw out an opinion, I'll get a lot more responses than that. Mm-hmm. What that tells me is that people are not willing to sacrifice for what they say they believe. That's what that tells me. That's what that tells me. But anyways, if we say we believe in something, we should at least be willing to sacrifice something for it. Right? So what does sacrificing mean? Who has a definition of what it means to sacrifice?
Giving up something you love.
Giving up something you love, right?
Cookies.
Yeah. Cookies, right. Yeah, definitely cookies, right? That's what I'm saying. I said, you know, I love Kit Kat bars. I really do. I mean, when you relate it to everything else, it's... Yeah. Is it worth it? Giving up something you love. Anybody else have...
I think it's also doing something you really don't want to.
Doing something you really don't want to. That can also be a sacrifice, right? Wait, how about in the Old Testament? What kind of sacrifice, when they were killing animals, right, for God, right? And what kind of sacrifice was that? What did God require of them?
The best.
The best.
Yeah.
Right? The best. So if you had your lamb, you didn't sacrifice the one with the broken leg, the one with boils all over it, right? God wouldn't have been too pleased with that. He expected the biggest one, the one that would provide the most for your family, your biggest asset out of the group of lambs. That was supposed to be your sacrifice. Thank God we don't have to do that no more, huh?
Yeah. We've been messing that up since the very beginning when Cain and Abel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a constant theme, right?
And shortchanging sacrifices from the beginning of time.
Yeah. Because nobody wants to sacrifice, right? I mean, it's just not internally in us. It really isn't built in us. That's why the conversion is so important. Why when God enters you, you become different. Different than that fleshy person. Right? So a couple of definitions I had written down that I, when I looked it up, was deliberately allow one's opponent to win. Right? So that's a sacrifice, right? That's a sacrifice. An act of slaughtering an animal or person or surrendering a possession as an offering to God or to divine or supernatural figure. That's like a definition, right? An act of giving up something of value for the sake of something else regarding as more important or worthy. Now that's the one I really like. It's the one I really like. Right? I'm not sacrificing for the sake of sacrificing. What does that accomplish? Not a lot. But if I'm going to sacrifice something for the sake of good or something else, right? Does that sound familiar as Christians, right? If I'm going to, we said it today, right? Claude's prayer, right? God, Christ, sacrificing for us, right?
Sacrificing for the sake of sacrificing just builds you up.
That's right. Sacrificing for the sake of sacrificing just builds you up. All right. Puffing you up. We're going to talk about that a little bit too in a little bit. It's good. So 1 Peter 2:5. You also, like living stones, are being built into the spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So again, every word matters, right? Every word matters. Offering spiritual sacrifices. What is that? What does he mean by offering a spiritual sacrifice? If we don't know what it means, then we're not going to follow it very well, right? What does that mean?
To me, it means something that God asks of you, not something that you dream up in your own mind.
Right. And asks of you to what?
To do or give
right.
yourself.
To do or give yourself, right. Right. Anybody else have thoughts on that?
It's prayer.
Prayer? Could be. Could be prayer for sure, yeah. It's to use our body to serve and obey God. Right? To use our body to obey and serve God. I like this one. This one I ran across. It was really hit me. Offering a Christ-approved life. Offering a Christ-approved life. And that is not what I was doing, even though I thought I was. When I saw Jesus in my little experience, if I was offering a Christ-approved life, I wouldn't have hid away from Him. I'd have been like, look at me. I was your guy. I did what you wanted me to do, and I can stand here full-fledged, happy I did that, just for you, Christ. Not for me. Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. So important. That's a key word, right? That's what somebody else was speaking about, right? Today, I can't remember. There's so many good things that really, it's for Him. But through Christ living in us, right? It's not us. We're not very good at that stuff. So why should we do this, right? So the Bible goes on. So why should we do this? If we go to Ephesians 5:2, it says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. So if you don't know what Christ did, how can you live your life as an example like Christ? Like live your life like Christ. So that means we have to know what He did. How He acted. Right? He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us. A pleasing aroma to God. So why should we do spiritual sacrifices? Because He loves us. And we want to show Him we love Him. Right? Or at least we should at least crave that. We should want that. I was thinking about sacrificing, and we went to Soul Fest, and we listened to some great music, uplifting, and it's a beautiful time, it's great. And what we did is there's music all day long, okay? And then the big band is usually at the end, right? And so if you want, what happens is it's a wide open field, okay? And so, you know, there's no seats or anything like that. So if you want to see the band that you really like, you want to be there early in a good spot. Right? Right. So that's what we did, right? We want a good spot. So when we got to the before the second to last band came on, we went and stood in one good spot so that we could, and then you can't move, right? Because if you move, guess what? That spot's gone. Like, all these people are going to start creeping in, right? So in order for us to see this good band at a good spot, we have to stand there for over 5 hours total and not move. Right? That requires sacrifice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, my back, I was like squatting down, trying to get comfortable. I'm like squirming, I'm like stretching. And Kyla was standing on one leg doing this and stretching herself out. And Haley was rubbing her back. And everybody was... And we didn't back down. We didn't back down. We stayed there. We ran out of water at the end. I'm pretty sure we all had to go to the bathroom. It's a long time, 5 hours. My feet were sore. It was hot.
In front of us. We waited.
And we waited all that time, and then somebody stepped in front of us.
What was the band?
It was for King and Country. It was awesome. So get it? So can you imagine that? Somebody steps in front of us at a Christian concert. You'd think they know better, right? So anyways, that's the world creeping in. That's what I'm talking about, right? So anyways, sacrifice, right? There was a sacrifice. I am willing to do that to see a band. Am I willing to do that to help a homeless person on the side of the street? Well, that's the question, right? That's the answer is I need to step up and smarten up, right? If I'm willing to sacrifice for that stuff, why am I not sacrificing for other things? It costs us a lot of money to go to this thing. I sacrificed money. And then I see somebody who God says, give money to, and then I go, I can't afford that.
Right?
How am I supposed to do that? God, like, why are you asking me this right now? I read a book, and this lady, they were hurting too, and she was having a hard time. And so anyway, she goes into a restaurant. All she did was buy a soda because she was thirsty. She went into a restaurant because there was nothing else around. She went into a restaurant to buy a soda. It cost her $2. And she walked out and God said, you need to leave a $100 tip for that lady that gave you $2. $2 drink. And she said, God, I don't have that money. She called her husband. She says, I got this feeling like God's telling me to give this money and we don't have it. We don't have it. I don't have any extra money. They were hurting at the time, and she was out of work. And she started to walk away. God just hounded her. And she started to walk back. She's like, well, maybe I'll give $50. I'll go to the ATM. I'll take out $50. I'll give you $50. And God said, when she was at the ATM, she said, $100, $100. She walked back in, she gave the $100. And just as she walked away, she was starting to walk away, she just gave the $100 to she's walking away, and God says, you're not done. You need to tell her in front of this crowded place with many people why you're giving her that $100. You need to say, God told you to give this $100. Wow.
Wow.
How embarrassing.
Yeah.
People are going to think she's crazy. Right? She's like pleading with God, like, why? Why are you doing this with me? And she did. She went and did it. And then she walked out. And come to find out, isn't this a coincidence that the person that she gave the money to, this lady, I can't remember the whole story, but this lady needed that $100 to be able to do something for Thanksgiving or something, her kid or something that they wouldn't be able to get together. It was really important that she got this $100. And she found out, the lady found out through her husband who worked or was at a meeting with the owner of the restaurant And the owner came to her husband and said, this lady came in and gave $100 to one of our waitresses. And she utilized that $100 for this reason. What a light. What a light. She, just by that act. And who else knows what else happened? Besides, that's a direct connection.
I'm just thinking of something, you know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was like struggling over, he knew what was going to happen, and he cried out to his Father, you know, and he says, you know, I think it was like, if you take this cup from me, but he says, thy will be done. And then he went to the cross and he sacrificed because that's what God wanted him to do. We have life through Christ. And I was just thinking, you know, he gave his life in obedience to the Father.
That's right.
And God wants us to do things, and boy, we can complain.
Yeah. We make up a lot of excuses.
Yeah.
A lot of excuses. A lot of excuses. So is sacrificing for others important to God? I'm pretty sure there's some scripture that supports that. Let's go to Hebrews 13, 15 through 16. This is kind of an important one. Therefore, let us, through who? Him. Who is him? Jesus. Right? Let us offer through Jesus. So not through Reggie. Right? Not through Malcolm. Through Jesus. A continual sacrifice. Oh. Continual means something. Does that mean sporadic? Does that mean when I feel like it? When I have excess? When I have the time? Continual sacrifice. A praise to God. How do you praise God? In your life. How do you praise God? How would you praise God?
Through your actions.
What's that?
Well, I mean, beyond your lips, also through your actions.
Through your actions too, right? So not only by saying, God, I praise you, I thank you. It's through your actions. That's praising God.
Yes.
Saying, listen, you instructed me to do something, and I did it. That praises God.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm fearful. Especially when I'm anxious. That's why it's continual. You can do it all the time. It doesn't have to be just at dinner time. Or before bed. Or right off in the morning. Whatever your little special time is. Proclaiming our allegiance to Him. So what does that mean? Do we take the credit? No. 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 Proclaiming. We're saying, just like God said to that lady, you need to tell them, God said to do this. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. In this selfish world that we're living in right now, in this country, this is getting dropped. It's getting dropped. And then it says right there, these are the sacrifices that please God. So is sacrificing important to God, even though we don't do animal sacrifices? Even though we're going to heaven? Is it important? It's important. Let's go to 1 John 3, 18 through 19. Thank you. write this because my little children, that's us.
Yeah.
My little children, or in this version it says, dear children. Dear children. We're so not growing up, aren't we? Sometimes it's crazy. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love one another. Right? Let's not just say that. Let us show the truth by our actions. Right? So we could say we love one another. We could say we love the person who has the least of these. We could say we love the person who is on the street beaten down. Nobody's stepping in to help that person. But it's action. I remember watching the news one time, and I think it was down in Florida on the beach. Devastating. Group of guys were raping a girl. And there was people videoing and watching and did nothing. That's disgusting. That's disgusting. How can people do that? How can people do that? You know how? Because they're scared. They're scared to step in and do something. Why? Because there's a sacrifice involved with that. They might get hurt. They might get beaten. They might get killed. That should not be going on in this country. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. Sounds familiar, huh, John? Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. What's the truth? What's the truth?
Christ.
How do we know about the truth?
His word.
Right? It was laid out when, John?
Before the foundations of the earth.
Before the foundations of the earth. Why? Because he knew. Why would he even put up with us? Why did he even develop this? That's what I say. Knowing how pathetic we are. Really? Boy, it's good. There has to be a better reason, right? I mean, there has to be an incredible reason. Because it's crazy. I would have given up a long time ago. Wow. And like you said, Cain and Abel, right? Like right after Cain. Well, maybe even Adam and Eve. Who knows? But Cain and Abel, for sure. Like, that's it. Call it good. Close her up. Gone with the earth. So that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Again. Boy, did that hit me. So we will be confident before we stand before God. And that was not where I was at a month and a half ago. And I'm still not there yet. But a month and a half ago, I definitely know I was not there. Yeah.
Just going along with what you just read, in the chapter right before that, verse 28, it says, "And now little children abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him that is coming."
That's right. That's right. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Everybody doing okay?
Yep.
Everybody alive?
Yep.
All right. Jason.
I know, I get what you're saying, but do you not think, though, and I'm open for suggestions or opinions, that God also understands that we are pretty much pathetic.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And the fight is the fight that counts.
Yeah, it is
even
the fight that counts.
Most of it.
Right.
To stand with him face to face, in your heart knowing, I fought as hard as I could fight, although I failed most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yep. Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, are we going to be perfect at this? You know, there is no way. There is no way we're going to be perfect with this.
But to know you dug as hard as you can dig.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I also think that God is also saying, are you really digging enough?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, right. So that really, I guess that's the crux of it, right? Like, yeah, we're not going to be perfect at this. You know, do I really, now remember, now, I don't, when I had my dream, it wasn't Jesus that was putting that on me. It was my own self putting it on myself as far as my feeling toward Jesus. Okay? It was my own insecurities, my own guilt, let's say.
Right.
That I didn't do what he was asking me to do. And I think percentage-wise, it needs to be a lot better.
You shortchanged the sacrifice.
I shortchanged the sacrifice, right. So, yeah. So that's a great point, though. I don't want anybody to walk out of here and think. Anytime anybody brings a message, you got to get it in your head. You got to ask yourself, what is God trying to tell me, right? And maybe it has nothing to do with the specific thing, but maybe something said throughout the whole message, right? So God talks to us on individual levels, and if you feel very confident in where you're at with what you're doing with God and what He's telling you, then that's good for you. You, like I said before, use it as encouragement. You're already doing it. Be encouraged. You're doing it. If you're not doing it enough and God is telling you, God will tell you. He'll let you sink in your heart. If you say it's not enough, you need to ramp it up a little bit, take a little extra step to the right, then do it. You know, this is, I'm encouraging you. Do it.
You go with that, right? God will see any effort you put into something.
Yep.
And will use you.
Yep.
And the next time you'll put more effort.
That's right.
This isn't enough. Now I want to do this. I want to do that.
Right.
And any effort you put in, God will see that.
Yep.
And go in your own heart if you could have done more.
Right, exactly. And He also sees the struggle in our minds, right? So He knows, He knew that lady that was struggling, right? That she wanted to give $100. She didn't think she could.
Right?
At that moment, she didn't think she could. She eventually did. Some of us may not. Right? But He knows that the internal struggle in your heart is real. Right? And so He's not going to hold that internal struggle. If you come to the conclusion, like, there is no way I can do this. Even if I could, there's no way I could do this. And in your mind, you're battling with it. That's pleasing to Him still, because at least you're considering. You're at least considering what He's telling you. You're hearing from Him. You're battling with Him. And He loves you for that. And He also knows you're not going to do it when you don't do it. He knew that ahead of time. But He still wants you to trust Him.
Mm-hmm.
He does. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. It's a good question. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? You ever get encouraged from belonging to Christ? I hope so. I hope so. Any comfort from His love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. And the world is telling us, be selfish. And the instruction right here, because He knows best, don't be selfish. Who said this just a little while ago? Don't try to impress others. Right? It's not about us. It's not about impressing people. I got some incredible friends that do incredible stuff. They sacrifice a lot of time. They'll help anybody. And they'll tell you that they did that. They're very happy to tell you that they did that for everybody. It kind of takes a little bit away when every time, and I'm not talking a little, every time they do something, they tell you that they did something so good. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourself. There's nobody better than me. Come on. I mean, come on. Right? The world says, I'm the most important thing here. It's not what the Word says. It's not what the Word says. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. So if we're set apart, does that mean we live in our own little bubble? No. No, we got to be there. We got to be there for others who aren't set apart. Hopefully yet. And these things can be done on an individual basis, but it can be done as a family. It could be done as a church, right? Can be done as a church where maybe we need to get together and do something as a sacrifice for others. That's something we got to consider, right? Are we doing enough? Get together as a church to do good for others that aren't. Who can think of some sacrifices? I mean, sacrifices don't have to be huge, do they? Do they have to be huge? Would the world see something different if I don't know. Throw something out. We'll work off that. Give me a sacrifice. Joe.
In combat, people will lay down their lives for the other people there. They don't look for recognition.
Right.
You know, they just do it. And I look at it this way. If we can do that for somebody else, why can't we do it for the Lord?
Right. You know? Now why do you think military people are so willing to die for other military people?
I think it's just because they're fellow men. I mean, when you're in combat, you're brothers.
Yeah. What does that mean to be brothers?
It means that you're family. You have to count.
It means that you're family. That means that you know those people pretty well. Right? No. You have a pretty good idea of what they believe, what they stand for. Yeah. Right? They have a pretty good idea of where they're at. So are we getting to know people enough that aren't as fortunate as us that we would feel comfortable enough to lay down our lives for? Right? Most of us would lay down our lives for our spouse, our kids, our mother, our father, if we had the opportunity. What about the guy on the street? What about the girl on the beach?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem is people fear death.
Yeah.
So they don't want to get involved.
Right. Right.
They're afraid of something happening to them.
Right.
And I can honestly say there's a lot of people in this church would have no problem stepping in.
I agree.
It's being united behind that purpose.
It's being united behind that purpose.
Malcolm talks about football all the time, or soccer.
Football, same thing, right?
You get behind that purpose or that theme. They're behind a purpose. They're serving for a reason, and they can understand that.
Yeah. Well, can I get? I mean, I bite my tongue during this whole thing because one of my first things was you brought up. I think it was number two. I wrote down here. The military. I mean, even though we're no longer in the military, I don't know about Joe or anybody else in the military. Jason puts his life on the line every time he gets into that truck. And he will step in front of somebody to save whoever.
Absolutely.
And the same with Rich or I. Yeah. I mean, I have no problem. When you were talking about that girl on the beach, I would have figured out a way to get in there.
That's right. And what would have happened from that, though? What would have,
I don't care.
No. To the world. You would have been the light, right? You would have been set apart from all these other people that are just standing there. That's the whole point, right? Yeah. It's like, what kind of example are we going to be, right? So you would have been that light. That would have been beautiful, right? And maybe you would have lost your life for it. But what would it have said to the world? Jason, every time when he goes in, he is that light, right?
Yeah.
He is that light, right? And we know that Jason's going in. How many of us are praying for Jason? Going into danger every day. Now, is that a sacrifice? You are. Right. So is there a sacrifice on our part to be praying for him?
Right.
Can you see where this is going? Like where what God is trying to say is like, yeah, you guys are great. This is a giving church. This is an incredible group of people. That's no lie. That's no lie. Is there a place in our lives still that we could sacrifice more? I think that's what he's saying. It's like, is there times when we don't want to give money because we can't really afford it, but yet we're going out to eat? Or maybe we're buying coffee. Or maybe we're doing other things. We're buying,
paying $2 for a bottle of water.
Paying $2 for a bottle of water, like John said, right? So is there times that we could be doing a little bit more?
Yes.
That's what the message is. That's the heart of and showing people that's what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
But there's also a word of caution that comes from all this, right? There's a word of caution that comes from all that. But before we do, any other ideas for sacrifice? Claude.
I struggle with sacrificing time when I do it.
Yeah.
But time is so precious.
Yep.
I love my time. I'm selfish with my time.
Right.
So when you serve somebody else, you're giving up your time. You're denying yourself in a sense.
Right.
So time's a big sacrifice.
Yes.
Now, see, the other thing that works out for God has in the play, too, is when you talk about sacrificing for time, there's a lot of people who are dealing with depression, and there's people who commit suicide, and they're hopeless and stuff like that, because their focus is all about themselves, right?
Yeah.
So when you sacrifice time, are you thinking about yourself? I just had a lady just recently say that. She's struggling right now. She's having anxiety attacks, and she's depressed. But she's still going to St. Vincent's thrift store and volunteering there. I said to her, I said, how do you feel when you're at the thrift store? She doesn't have anxiety and depression. Because she's focusing on others other than herself. When we focus on ourselves, and that's all we do, then of course we feel those feelings, right? But God puts that into play where, listen, if you're going to go out, I'm going to bless you and take that away from you while you're focusing on others.
Just to go back to the woman on the beach, if one person would have come forward, I believe the rest would have jumped in. But everybody's afraid.
Everybody's waiting for that person, right? Waiting for that person. Everybody's looking at each other.
Yeah.
Are you going to go? Yeah. Right? Yeah. I saw some other hands about sacrifice. Brooke. Yep.
It seems like it's all been said, but just something that I
we get so distracted with our everyday lives, like you said, we're selfish in that, oh, you know, there's always something happening. But it's like, Lord, give me in my head what, like, if it's prayer, okay, who needs the prayer right now?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, okay, the Hansons. Okay, what do they need? What do they need?
Specifically, what do they need? More than just 1 second.
What can we do, like as a church, what can we do to help them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it is just prayer. They might not want us to do anything.
Right.
But, all right, do you want me, Lord, to just show up on the doorstep and I'm leaving on a meeting?
That's perfect. That's exactly.
Something like that. Right. Okay, it could be, I mean, we knew a man one time, he heard the Lord tell him, you pray. He gave him a picture of a woman overseas with children to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
He never knew what had happened, but there was such a burden on his heart. It was like he was being a missionary at that moment in time to pray for them.
Interceding.
Yeah. But more of that type of thing. Okay, I'm getting all uptight and upset about this that happened at work. You know, this happened and this is going on with, oh, this friend is that. Okay, all right. What right now do I need to pray about and then go do?
Right.
Yeah.
Or maybe not do. I don't know. But
that's the sacrifice. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be huge. It is huge.
It is huge. Yes.
But it doesn't have to be huge.
No.
Right? You're not looking for. I'm not saying everybody needs to go out and die for the sake of dying. That's not what I'm saying. Don't get confused.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, think about it. Listen for God's word.
Yeah.
He's instructing us. How many times do we back down from when He gives us that urge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, really, weekly, I could count a lot. More than I want to admit.
Yes.
More than I want to admit.
Yes.
Hey, Reg?
Yeah.
And if we're not willing to make those kind of sacrifices, like Melinda was talking about, are we able to say that we'd die for somebody?
What? We say it.
If we can't do the little things, how are we going to do the big things?
I love to say that stuff all the time. Oh, I would die. I would step right in there. I'd be the first one on the beach right in there. I love to say that. I'd love to believe that I would do that. Doesn't mean I would. I don't know.
People when my wife passed away, I was angry. Alright? But just before she died, she opened her eyes and smiled. But, you know, I knew right there and then that God was real.
Yeah.
And once you realize that in your heart, I don't think any sacrifice is bigger than that.
Right.
That you will. There's no need to fear death because we will be with Christ.
Yes.
And that's the thing we need to get over.
Right. And that's what the world's watching for, right? Yeah. So like I said earlier, right? Death, right? Like the world is scared of death. I used to be, before I got saved, I was petrified of death. Petrified. It brought on so much anxiety. It was crazy. And then once I finally realized, like, and God touched me, it went away. It went away. Now, do I want to be separated from people? No. I want to be separated from my family? No. That's a different feeling. But I was petrified of death. What's going to happen to me?
Right.
Not what's happening to everybody else. To me again. Another selfish thought. Yeah, John.
And you were sort of touching on it, went into last week, that so many of the things we've brought up, like money and time and all these different things, are things that the world has spun into value that's even a sacrifice.
That's right.
So we have a friend that we met overseas. They were from London, but his parents were from Haiti. But anyways, he went home to visit, so it would have been his parents' parents.
Yeah.
Went home to visit, and they own a shop, and they work until they made enough money to buy food the next day. If that was noon, 1, 2 o'clock, whenever they made enough money to buy food the next day, they closed the shop. And they went home.
Right.
And he was thoroughly upset. Like,
what are you doing?
Flabbergasted. Like, why don't you just stay up until 5 o'clock, and you can get ahead?
Right.
And they're like, why would I? Yeah, I've got enough money to buy food for tomorrow. It's just like such a mindset change that we can't even find 5 minutes in our life to do something because we've got this engagement and that engagement, and some of it, and lots of it we all think is good.
Right.
But, you know, we're trying to make money, to buy things, to do stuff, and to be all of these missions, whatever. It's sort of, you know, it shouldn't even be a sacrifice to give that stuff up.
It shouldn't be.
It should be easy.
Right.
Yes. It's all just nonsense that we filled our life with to get stressed out about.
Yes.
You know? And we're acting like it's a horrible sacrifice to get rid of it. And it is.
Yeah.
I'm not minimizing
it. No, right.
Sort of wrap our head around it commutatively, us two.
Yeah.
Same thing.
But you know, God works on you that way. He's always like, you need to challenge yourself. You need to challenge people. You need to challenge, right? It's not a condemnation. It's just challenging. Like, how do you view this? What do you get from this? Are you listening to me? You know, I want more of you. Yep.
Just like in physical therapy, you challenge your people all the time.
Yeah.
I said to you one day, if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't work. So even in the Christian walk with God, it's actually what hurts that ends up working, because that's an ultimate sacrifice. It's not something that's just menial. You know, like certain things, it's like John said, you know, certain little things, it's really, we think it's a sacrifice in the U.S., but it really isn't.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But
and we don't do it for blessings, but it's amazing how many blessings come from doing it.
Yes.
I'm going to say this. I don't know if I was up long, but 20-something years ago, I was in business. Had a lot going on. And I didn't spend a lot of time with my dad. But every year, since I was a kid, we have a week to go to the hunting camp. And probably went about 7 years and I didn't go. And it really hit on my dad's heart. And he said, you know, you really should come to camp. I said, Dad, I can't. I got too much going on. I think I had 3 jobs going then, a bunch of guys were. I said, you know, like, I just got to make sure my yards are open for the trucks. I'm going to have the roads plowed. You know, I got to load the extra loads. I got to fill the tickets. It's like on and on and on. I said, something breaks, I can fix it. He says, well, you have good men working for you. I said, yeah. He says, well, 100 years down the road, I said, you'll have no difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my father here. What about taking that time for your father in heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And so I did.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a sacrifice. So, just a little warning before.
Rich, can I just say one other
thing? Yeah, sure.
And then when we make those things that the world looks at as sacrifices that might not be the truth of sacrifice as the Lord tells us, are we then willing to take the next step and say that was what Jesus
came? Right, exactly. That's right, exactly. That's we got to take that next step. We got to say, like, listen, the reason I do this, because I don't want to do it. The reason I do it is because of this.
The world can kind of attack our ego. And
right.
Doing things that look good, giving up money, giving up things or whatever, but right. I'm willing to say, you know, there's nothing good in me.
Right. Something That's the warning.
Yep.
So Matthew 6, 1 through 3, that's the warning. Watch out.
Yep.
Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others.
Yep.
For you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. So when we go to heaven, we're going to have rewards. But if you get your pat on the back and say, boy, Reggie, you're so special. And that is my reward. That is my reward. And I'm missing out on something in heaven that I will be rewarded for. It's a warning. Watch out. That's pretty. This is say, take heed. This one has exclamation point. Watch out. Don't do good deeds publicly to be admired by others. For you will lose your reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and the streets to call attention to their acts of charity. Right? So, come watch me. I'm going to go give this money to somebody. Look how good I am. Don't do that. I tell you the truth. They have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Right? So we want people to see our light, but we don't want to promote it as our own. Right? He's saying that. Don't promote it as your own. Do it in secret. You don't make all kinds of skepticism. That let the person know you're doing it for. Know that it's coming from God, not you. These are the instructions God has given us. That's in the Word of God. That is true. Right? The whole world knows what Christians stand against. Trust me. I hear it all the time. I don't go to church because you Christians.
Yeah.
Serious.
Yeah.
I hear it all the time. I put it on Facebook. You see anybody here? Right? That you don't recognize that I invited from Facebook 450 people. Not a single person here. Because they know what we stand against. Trust me. The news makes it well known. They know what we stand against. Now is the time to show them what Christians stand for. Right? Let our actions be the light. Let us not be afraid to sacrifice like they used to do in this country. Still happening. Still happening. But look at the percentages. Look at the percentages. It's different. It's very different. And I think that if we start with this, this is what's going to change things out. And it's a ripple effect, right? One thing happens, it's dominoes. Boom, the next thing. The next day, right? So on this, I'm going to end with this last quote. This is off a song of Skillager saying. I just love this. I love this quote. Let your life terrify the dark. Let your life terrify the dark. Do you understand that? Don't let Satan win. Terrify him. Satan is darkness. Let our life terrify him in the darkness. Love it. Alright, let's close with prayer. Dear Jesus, you know us and you know us so well. You know our downfalls. You know our hearts. We yearn for you, but we pull away. We want to do right, but we step back. And we can't do it on our own. Can't do it on our own. I'm not strong enough to do it on my own. I'm not courageous enough to do it on my own. I pray you step in and intercede in each one of our lives to take that step. To listen to your instruction. To hear your voice so strong that I can't ignore it. That we can't ignore it. That we step out in faith.